League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches.
As well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, Butchie, first off, welcome back. Now a world record holder as well.
Yeah, who'd have thought? But different though, isn't it?
Yeah. We wanted to ask, look, how many Instagram followers have you gained since the world record?
I've actually not checked. I know it's near 30k, but I don't know how much I've gone up. Like, it's not been too much, I don't think. Okay. Like, I don't think it's been too crazy.
Yeah.
Fair enough, man. I mean, jokes aside, talk about the parkrun, why you did it. Was it always in the plan? Obviously, you did Highgate and stuff. You announced your track season's going to be, like, a little bit up and down. You weren't going to prioritize it. So, yeah, talk about the parkrun attempt. Was it a world record attempt or was it just a hard run out?
So basically, like, one of the boys at my training, like, I run with most days, it was actually his idea. He was like, look, Butchie, like, you've not got a race planned for like a couple months. Like, you're going to training camp soon. Like parkrun would be class. Go and just do it. And I was like, nah, like, I'm really not that bothered. Like, I'm not that bothered. And he kept kind of pestering. He was like, look, Butchie, the weather's been good. Like, the conditions could be good. Like, I think we can do this. Like, let's just do it. Like, get the boys together. And I said, look, like, if you arrange everything, like, I don't have to do anything at all, then I'll come down and race it. So, like, his name is Matthew Sutherland. He, like, set up, like, a WhatsApp group with a couple of the central boys. Was like, hey, Butchie's going to go for a world record. Like, can any of you guys jump in for a couple K to try and help him out? Because, like, the place where we're going to go, it's not, like that sheltered. It's, like, by the beach. So it's, like, pretty windy. And, like, it'd be, like, awful conditions. So I knew I needed some sort of help from the boys. So yeah, he sort of kind of got a few of the guys together, rocked up, and then it was just a fun day. It wasn't like do or die. Like, I told coach maybe like the Thursday morning, I was like, hey, I'm gonna run the parkrun this weekend, and I thought he'd be like, nah, just don't do that. But like, he was like, go for it. Like, nothing to lose, nothing to, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? So just so happened we got the record and the rest is history.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned like a bit of the course then. Can you describe sort of the course at Silvernose? Like, is it normally busy? Like, is it normally good times? I'm sure we'll see a few kind of parkrun kinos make the travel up now.
The thing is, I'm not like an avid follower of like parkrun courses. I don't really know like the do's and like where to run fast and where it's not. Like, I just know there's two fast ones in Scotland, the Mums at Crammond in Edinburgh and the other ones at Strathclyde Park. But Strathclyde Park's on like a bike path, it's quite narrow and it's an out and back. So if I was going to run fast on the way back, I would have to kind of be in like keep left sort of thing to people. And the Crammond's like a really wide, it's almost like a motorway width like strip, if that makes sense. So like there's loads of space for like people to get by and not interrupt their races, whereas I could try and run fast. So yeah, that made the difference. So like, it's kind of just like an out and back. You basically just kind of like run up a promenade, and then it's like a lollipop loop where you kind of go around like a grass green, and then like you turn back and you just kind of head back the same way. And then for the run, the wind was like on behind you on the way out, and then in the face on the way back. So it was a bit rubbish in terms of like the guys who were pacing me. They like kind of got like an easy job, but like, and then like to be fair, like they were only in it for like for like, I don't know, maybe a mile. And then like I just kind of took on and just kind of pressed. And then on the way back, a few of them had waited and then just like jumped on for a minute or so, just like kind of help block the wind. But like, yeah, it was just, I was just, it wasn't like perfect conditions at all. Like it was just all thanks to the boys for kind of coming down.
Well, it sounds like a little bit was off road as well. So
it's not. It's on road. It's a road the whole time. It's just grass green that you kind of go around. Sorry.
Still though, huge time. Did it shock you? Like obviously you kind of had them pace you. You kind of roughly knew like what time were you aiming to set off at? Like 14 minutes. I think the old record was 13:58 or so.
13:48, I think it was. But like because the wind was so ferocious, like and you had to get out. So I think I've not like put anything on Strava because I don't have Strava, or I do, but I don't know how to upload to it. But I think my mile splits were like 4:20 or 4:19, 4:20, then like 4:31, 4:32. I knew I had to get out really hard. So I think I went through 3K, just over 8 minutes. So I was like well up on the time. And then like on the way back, I was just like kind of like almost dying of death into the wind. So like it wasn't like you couldn't really be like, oh, I want to run 2:46 per K because it's not going to happen in the wind. Like we had to get out. So like that's what we did.
Yeah. Sounds like most people's park runs, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's how not to run a 5K is like quite hard and die, but whatever.
Yeah. One thing, of course, we got to ask, what shoes were you wearing? Like talk us through kind of that New Balance pair.
Yeah, I was wearing like a pair, like yellow. They're called SC Elite, Super Comp Elite V4s. Yeah, good shoes. Like, yeah, I've not had any issues with them whatsoever. Like, and like I spoke to Andy Badley, the old record holder, and he was just like, "Oh, it's good to keep it in New Balance," and like, but obviously like the shoe technology, this and this. And I was like, oh, yeah, mate, I jogged and I beat your time, but yeah.
Nice. This is true. Like, you got it. Now Badley had it, and I swear Alex Yee's run pretty quick. One of the very break 14 as well. So
yeah,
parkrun is dominated by New Balance. Look, are you tempted to chase a 5K time now? Like, because that's pretty impressive. You're not tempted at all. You're going away on training camp. If you're not thinking, what can I do on the track?
Nah, because like I'm not necessarily in like I'm obviously in good shape, but like I've not been like right now we do like. I would call it like maintenance phase where you're just like, you're not really doing anything that exciting. You're just like getting like a lot of work in. Like sessions aren't like amazing. They're just like sessions, if that makes sense. So like we start training camp end of July. So like from end of July, like we'll press pretty hard for a few months. So that's when the fitness will come. But like, nah, I'm not too bothered with like, honestly, usually like if I'm watching a Diamond League or like a fast 5K, I'll get a bit like jealous of people running fast. But like I don't have that feeling whatsoever right now. So like for me that just means that like I'm not interested in it. Like a few of the boys said to me, like, oh, the British Champs 5K is looking a little bit like different this year. And I was like, hey, like I would love like some person to win it, like that's not expected to win it or that. Like it gives them a boost to like potentially make a team in the future. Like I feel like maybe I'll come back to it. Who knows? Like I might have an absolute shocker on the roads, and I still think I could still run a very fast 5K. Like I'm sure I could run sub 13 if I really like pushed for it. But my intention just isn't there right now.
Pretty set on the roads, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
On the shape thing, like obviously you like you said yourself, it's a parkrun world record, so you're obviously in shape. But if you as you kind of mentioned, you approached it like a race. So how different would you say it is to sort of a 5K road race in a way?
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually approach it as a race. Like I still ran like 100 miles last week. I still did a session 2 days before. It was just like for fun. Like because the time was 13:48, in my head I was like, this should be pretty, like I actually thought it should be quite easy. Like I didn't think that the time was like that difficult. Like nobody really targets 5Ks. Like you don't see people like off a Diamond League being like, oh, I'm going on a park run. Do you know what I mean? So it was just like, I'll just go there and just see what happens. Like I thought I would maybe run a bit quicker, but just the weather wasn't there. So yeah, like, nah.
Fair enough, man. I mean, coming off the back of Highgate, was British champion, solid run, 27:47. What was the thinking behind like not searching for another 10 and like calling it a day there at 10?
So I'm still going to do another 10K. Like the plan is still to do a 10K. I'll do a 10K later in the year. And I'll try to run the Olympic standard. I'll try to run sub 27. So I'll hit it really hard. But wow. Like, I think that the thing for me was like, I'm gonna do a marathon at the end of the year, and like my mindset was like Budapest. Although like it didn't excite me that much. Like I wasn't too bothered by it. That sounds really bad, but like I've done world champs before. I've done like these things before. Like, and like the way that the British Athletics kind of like made their selection criteria, like it didn't entice me enough to like be like, oh, right, I'm going to give up everything else and just solely focus on the tank. Like if I wanted to go to world champs, I could pretty easily run sub 1307, I think, right now, and go to world champs. But like, it's not my intention to. I don't want to go to a championship just to be in the championships. Like, I'm not going to go there unless I can push properly. Like, I've finished top eight a couple times in major champs, and like, I don't think that right now this year that I'm able to finish top eight at world champs. So like, is there any point in me going? Probably not. I need to be like a bit more sensible and work out like, what target do I want to achieve? Like, what does it mean coach think we can do? So that's why we kind of gave it a miss. Like, if I was going to do like, let's just say I did Highgate and then wanted to keep pushing for another 10K, that means that I would never have a break until a marathon at the end of the year. And you can't just stay on it throughout the whole year. You kind of have to have ups and downs sort of thing. So like after Highgate, it was like, put off the gas, like chill for a few weeks sort of thing, and then kind of build up. So like the park run, like kind of slotted in quite nicely of just like having a small target on the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think that's probably great advice, I guess, for some younger athletes as well. Because obviously someone in your experience position, you've been able to kind of go through a lot of these track seasons and realize what it takes to run some of those times.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm getting older now, like, but wiser. Like, this has been the first summer where I've not been, like, done a spring camp and then, like, just been traveling around Europe at races. Like, I've been home for, like, what feels like ages. And so for me, like, obviously I've got a young child now. Max is like my world, so like being able to spend time at home with him and do this maintenance block rather than going like across to France to chase a fast 5k or do something, like, it just, there's no reason, there's no purpose in me to do that right now. Like, I've done it, so like there's no drive for me to do that. Like, I'd rather stay at home, do my maintenance phase, and then chase something that I actually want to commit towards.
What is the goal? What do you think you can do over the marathon, man? Have you got
I don't know. Honestly, like, I think I've got a very good setup and the guys that I train with and coach. I think like I'm definitely where I need to be if I want to run a fast marathon, and like not even a fast marathon, but like compete in a marathon and try and like finish high in marathons. It's an unknown distance. I could suck ass at it. I don't know. But like I want to put myself in the best position to try and run well at it. And I think that's what I'm doing, being with Gary and the boys that I train with. So we'll see. Like, I don't know, like there's definitely a gap in the market for like a marathon runner. I know that Emil and Mark are moving that way as well. So it's like exciting for British Athletics. Who knows, there could be like a little rivalry in the future. Like, you know, like Callum Hawkins has kind of led the marathon standings for the UK for quite a while now, and it's nice to see like people that run fast 5k, 10k moving up at a sort of younger age rather than waiting until they're kind of older and past it.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point, to be honest. And I think with, say, the three of the kind of names, have you considered the World Road Running Champs? Because it looks like we could have a ridiculous half marathon team potentially, depending on who wants to do it. Have you guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually not always, it's difficult. I want to run a fast 10k, a really fast 10k, and I want to run a good marathon. So I don't know if like doing World Road Champs is maybe like biting off more than I can chew in like a kind of short window. I think the 10k that we're looking to run is in Brussels, and it's only like 6 days after the big half trial race. So like, can I run a half marathon and then recover in 6 days to then run sub 27 10k? Probably not. So like, I need to look at like the bigger picture, or speak to British Athletics and work out like, if I don't do the trials and I do a fast 10k or I do a half marathon along the way, like, will you potentially select me? But I mean, it's all up in the air. Like, right now it's not on the plan, but things change, moving parts always. So we'll see.
Something I got to ask, obviously, Mo Farah, you're Your close friend moved up to the marathon as well, coming from that really good 5K, 10K background like yourself. Has he given you any advice, any support on kind of how to transition successfully?
I think he probably said, don't do it. He's like, nah, don't do it. Nah, I mean, Mo's a great guy. I think he's all for like different challenges and stuff like that. Like there's a time and a place when to move off the track and like kind of keep like your track like stuff relevant in a way. Like I won't not run 5Ks ever again or run 10Ks ever again. It's just like something new and something a bit exciting. Like, so yeah, that's the purpose behind it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it's great to see. I think you mentioned it yourself. Like, it's great to see you doing it at a time where you're still able to run these top times on over the 5 and 10. Because I think historically, like you mentioned, we've seen people kind of go there in the twilight of their career rather than trying to actually have a real good go at it.
Yeah, I mean, like the other thing that I need to mention is like British athletics, the way that they're doing their selection policy is like it's almost like forcing people to run the marathon. Like, I think like if you look at the bigger picture, like where the money is in the sport and like if the standards are going to be like you have to run the top three European of all time to make a team, then like I'm so grateful that I've made teams in the past, because like if I was an up-and-coming youngster, I'd be like, this is ridiculous, like what is, I might as well just get a job, because like what's the point? It's just a shame that like if that's the way that it's going to go. So it's not like, it's almost like a, it's a clear path. Like it's almost been like, yeah, this is the way that you kind of have to go now. If that makes sense.
I mean, on that selection policies and those up and coming, do you look at the current athletes racing the 5K today? I mean, do you see any of them being capable of running that 13:07 time?
It's so hard because like, I don't want to be like that guy.
But you know, like, you know what it takes, though. That's why
The thing is, 13:07 isn't 13:07. It's like it's actually 13:04 or 13:03. Like it's really quick. Like, you're not going to run like 13:06.99. Like the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim. Like you're going to have to be like sub 13 shape to run that. And like to be in sub 13 shape, it has to be a clear path of like to get there. And like I don't know. Like there's definitely like British athletics has like or British has the British. Athletics has like a good array of athletes. There's a lot of youngsters up and coming, like, but it's just all it takes is one breakthrough athlete. We might not even know their name yet that kind of comes through. Like when I came through, like a couple of years before, people wouldn't have heard of me and back in 2015-16. But like, yeah, I mean, there's guys like Jack Rowe. I think he's a very good 5K athlete. Does he have potential to run 13:07? Yes, but like, it's getting in the right race. Like, it's getting in like the right weather conditions. Like James West is another one. Like I've seen him do some sessions that I couldn't have done when I was in 13:06 shape. And like, you think, so he definitely has the potential to do it. Like Johnny Davies is not too far off. Like there's a lot of athletes that are coming through that are around that area, but it's more just like a lot of things of like getting into the right race and like, and that comes down to like having the right agent and like the right shoe sponsor. And like, there's so much more to it than just being like, I can run 13:07 sort of thing. I think the Olympic time is 13:05, so it's even faster. I think it's a difficult place to be right now if you're like a British youngster who's never made a team who wants to go to Olympic Games in Paris, because like the likelihood is like it's all against you. And the 10K is worse. The 10K is worse for someone who's
it's
not
even
like
worse, I think.
Yeah, like you're just not gonna. It's just not gonna happen. Like unless like I'm looking at it and I'm like. Like Mark's run 27:10, like unbelievable run, and that doesn't get you in a place to go. Like it's just a brutal, like it's just brutal. Like I think like I did the check and it was like if I think third in Europe, I think it would be make you third fastest in Europe to run some 27. So like the equivalent 800 meter time is like 1:42.8. Like, do you know what I mean? Like there's no way that folk would chase that if it's 1:42.8 or like the 15 is going to be like 3:28. Like Jakob and or even faster now that Katir's got it. So I mean, like it's just ridiculous. Like, and hey, but things may change.
We hope. we hope they start looking at the, you know, the rankings a little bit more, the road to Budapest and that seems like quite a fair way. Mate, just before we finish up, we got to ask from a sports shoes and podium perspective. Mm-hmm. Chris Barnes on the phone. He's would you consider chasing a record on a closed race circuit, one-off event, over the 5K or the 10K, maybe chasing a qualifying standard of some sort?
I think that the 10K definitely is exciting. I'm not too bothered about the 5K on the road. Doesn't really seem like an event, if that makes sense. Like, it's like, it's not, it's like, it's a fun thing, I think, to do. The 10K is definitely like a possibility. Like, and I think like the time is very possible too, in the right place, in the right shape. And if you get the right conditions, like, so yeah, potentially like closed circuit, it could happen.
There you go. Heard it here first, Chris Barnes. I'm sure you are listening. Get it set up, get on the blurs of Butchie. But look, Andy, brilliant to chat to you again. And we'll kind of let you get on. Enjoy the rest of your day, mate.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.